Amen. Matthew chapter 6. We've been in a study of the Sermon on the Mount. Started first Sunday of January. We're about two-thirds through. We're going to look at the final two verses of chapter 6. We're going to talk about the power of proper priorities. That means what is important to you. All of us have priorities, right? Now, you may not have them written down anywhere, but we demonstrate our priorities every day. Many of you are here today because this has priority in your life. Others are not here because other things are more important to them than being in the house of God. But if you're failing in life, it may be because your priorities are wrong. We live in a day and time of vanishing values and of pathetic priorities. So we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about this, having your priorities right. First, let me tell you a story. I heard about a guy who bought a talking parrot. And he went back to the store the next day and said, that parrot won't talk. You sold me a talking parrot, but I can't get him to say anything. And they said, well, did you put a swing in his cage? If you put a swing in his cage, then that'll help him talk. So he bought a swing, took it home, still nothing. Went back to the store and said, well, you need a mirror. Put a mirror in the cage and the parrot will see himself and think he's got company and he'll talk. So he bought a mirror. That didn't work. Then he bought a bell. I said, well, you need a bell. And that didn't. He bought a ladder. He said, if they run up down the ladder, they'll talk. That didn't work. Finally, just before the bird died, with his dying breath, he said, did you ever think to buy bird seed, dummy? His priorities were wrong, Deacon. He should have bought bird seed. That happens sometimes. I think America is in trouble today because we've forgotten what is really valuable. You might remember William Bennett, the former Secretary of Education, and he wrote about the problem in America. Let me share what he said. He said, quote, since 1960, the United States population has increased by 41%. The gross national product has nearly tripled. Social spending on all levels has risen fivefold. Spending on education has increased by 225%. Spending for welfare has increased by 630%. Some thought if we could spend enough, we could spend our way out of difficulty. But he said during that period, there's been a 560% increase in violent crime, a 419% increase in illegitimate births, a quadrupling in divorce rates, a 200% increase in teen suicides, and a drop of almost 80 points in the SAT scores. Now, if statistics say anything, it says we're in trouble. We are in trouble in America. And the problem is that we have lost what is truly valuable. We've gotten our priorities all wrong here as a nation. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So let's think about this morning. If you want to take notes, first of all, I want you to note the sovereign demand of this priority. Putting the kingdom of God first in your life. Think about when this should be done. When should we seek to make God and His kingdom first in our life. Can't we wait till we're old? I mean, let's just live for self for most of our life, and then in our old age, we will surrender and let Jesus be the Lord of our life. Will that work? What about young people? Should they make Christ the Lord of their life? The Bible says, seek ye the Lord in your youth. Start young doing this. He talks about a kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God. Now, where there's a kingdom, there needs to be a king. Amen? And Jesus Christ is the supreme ruler of this kingdom. Jesus is to be the ruler of your life. God's purpose for this nation and for each one of us is stated in Colossians 1:18. It says, and He, speaking of Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now notice this, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now is that true of us? Can we honestly say that Christ has preeminence over all things in our life? God wants to give preeminence to His Son. Now, by the way, there is something or someone that is number one in your life. Right? There is somebody, there is something that has the topmost priority in your life. What is it? S.D. Gordon said, in every heart there's a throne. When self is on the throne, Christ is still on the cross. But when Christ is on the throne, then self is on the cross. Say amen, Brother Self. We got two Brother Selves now. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about yourself. Now, in many lives, self is on the throne. Self calls all the shots. You've got to get off the throne and let Jesus be on the throne in your life. Is that true? He wants to give all preeminence to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But too many people are just living for self. That is what is first and foremost in their life. They refuse to relinquish the throne to allow God or Christ to sit on it. Now, our model should be, not my will, but thine be done. But if self is on the throne, it's not thy will, but mine be done. That's the model of the lives of many people. So we need to be aware of that and exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night. God sent the Holy Spirit to exalt the Son. Do you know that? Well, why is there going to be a judgment day? That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. One day, everyone's going to do that. Whether you like it or not, you're going to do it. And it's much better to do it now, voluntarily, than to do it on judgment day. But God's going to see that His Son receives due honor and glory, either here or in the hereafter. Secondly, think about why this should be done. Well, why should we make Jesus number one in our life? Well, He's God, for one thing. He's God the Son. He's the great I Am. He's your creator, and He's your redeemer if you're saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that you're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. That's why He deserves to be number one in our lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. You know what he's saying there? Expedient comes from the same word as expedition. That's talking about taking a journey. When you go on a journey, you're going somewhere. Now, a thing may be right, but if it doesn't help you on your journey, it's not expedient. Everybody understand that? Everything we do should be viewed in this context. Does this help me on my journey? Does this help me along the path of righteousness? May not be anything wrong with it, but is it expedient? Is it the best use of my time? Second, I want you to note the sweeping dimensions of this priority. Let's just get practical here, okay? Let's get practical about what it means to put the Lord first in your life, to seek His rule and righteousness in our daily life. What does that mean? Let me give you four examples that would apply here. First of all, give God the first thoughts of each day. It's easy to say Christ is Lord. It's easy to sing all to Jesus I surrender. Or to sing crown him with many crowns. But what does that really mean? To have Christ as the Lord of your life. I think if he's truly our Lord, we will give him the first thoughts of each and every day. We're to be like the psalmist who said in Psalm 5:3, he said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. That's how the psalmist began his day. Seeking the Lord, offering his prayers and meditation, looking up to heaven. Is that what we do? Well, what are your first thoughts in the morning? Now, some of you are morning people, right? You wake up cheerful and happy and, you know, good morning, Lord. Ready for a new day. Or you may be one that said, well, good Lord, it's morning. Not ready for this. If Jesus is preeminent in your life, won't your thoughts be on him as you begin the day? And your last thoughts will be of him at the end of the day. Where you begin and end each day just communing with the Lord and thinking of him in your life. Is that true? You're to let God have absolute rule. Let him control your life more than anything else. It says here, seek the righteousness of God. Let me give you another psalm, Psalm 17:15. There the psalmist said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Can you say amen to that? Give God the first thoughts of each day. Number two, give God the first day of each week. By the way, the first day is not Monday. It's Sunday. Now, I know the world's made Sunday part of the weekend. No, it's weekends were made for Michelob or whatever. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? The first day of the week is Sunday, and that is the Lord's day. The Bible plainly states that Sunday is the Christian's day of worship. This day is to be consecrated unto the Lord. Right? The Bible says, let me give you some verses to back this up. Acts 20, verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Now, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was Saturday, the seventh day. But it changed for the church age. We don't come together on Saturday. We come together on Sunday, on the first day of the week. That started at the very beginning. That was the day Jesus was resurrected. So the Christians would gather together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Sunday became the day of worship and became known as the Lord's Day. Give you another one, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So it's the custom that they would come together on the first day to worship and to give their tithes and offerings. Bible says, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Some think the day approaching may be as you see Sunday approaching. Exhort one another to assemble together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, the world used to respect the Lord's Day. It doesn't anymore, does it? There was a time when the world showed a little respect for the day of the Lord. Now it's common for businesses to stay open on Sunday. Many activities are planned on Sunday. A lot of people, I don't know why they want to have a family reunion on Sunday. Keep everybody out of church. What's wrong with Saturday? Y'all write that down. What's wrong with sporting events. Yep. Folks, when I was growing up, we never played anything on Sunday. We didn't even practice on Wednesday night because that was prayer meeting time. Things have changed, haven't they? Now all these sporting events on Sunday and all the kids' games and we've come used to. Now, if Christian parents would just get enough backbone to stop going on with this, I think they'd quit having games on Sunday. I think they'd quit having these sporting events on Sunday. If Christian parents would just stand up and say, no, my kids are going to be in church on Sunday. Come on. Do you ever rob God of his day of worship? To make money? For recreation? You say, preacher, is that a sin? Is it a sin to rob God of his day of worship? What about the Ten Commandments? It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it fun. No, no, that's not what it says, is it? To keep it holy. Amen. Said the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. To hallow something means to make it holy. God has taken this day and made it a holy day for his people to come together and worship. But we're living in a day and time when not many people make that a priority. They come when it's convenient, when there's nothing else to do. And as a pastor, you hear all kinds of flimsy excuses why people miss church. I've often wondered, what if you use those excuses with your boss for skipping work? How would that go? Say, boss, I had company yesterday and I just couldn't make it. Or I decided to sleep in and get some rest. Or I just didn't feel very good. Or I had to stay home and catch up on my housework. Or we decided to go visit relatives. See, you hear all this, why people skip church. So it's such a beautiful day, I decided to go fishing, boss. Or play golf. No, Junior had the sniffles, so the whole family stayed home. Nobody went to work. Now, that seems to be okay to use for not being in church, but it doesn't really apply anywhere else, does it? Some of you look kind of guilty. Now, I know every day belongs to the Lord, not just Sunday. Amen? We're not to just be Sunday Christians. But I think God does expect us to honor the Lord's Day. Keep it holy by assembling together to worship with fellow believers. Hey, listen. If you want God to bless the rest of the week, give Him the first day. I think that works. Give Him the first day and see if He doesn't bless the rest of the week. Number three, give God the first fruits of each paycheck. Write this verse down, Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. There it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We honor the Lord by giving our first fruits to the cause of Christ. Can we honor Him by giving Him the leftovers? So, Brother West, I just can't afford to give tithes and offerings. When you say that, you're really saying, I don't believe God will bless me. I know what the Bible says, but I just don't believe this. I don't believe God will bless me for doing this. So, the non-giver just does not believe the Bible. It's as simple as that. He just does not believe God will take care of his needs as God has promised. By the way, if you keep the Lord's tithe, you know that becomes tainted money. It taints yours. It's God that taints yours to keep. I'll wait till you write that down. Remember the spoils of Jericho was to be first fruits to God? And how Achan took that which was consecrated to God and it became accursed? And it brought a curse upon his family, didn't it? Let me give you three good reasons why we should give the Lord our first fruits of our income. Number one, God has promised to bless us if we'll do so. Now, Bob, the blessings are not just limited to financial blessings. There's a lot of blessings. Maybe a blessing upon your home, upon your marriage, upon your health, upon your children. Just having inner peace is a blessing, right? And God promised to bless those who will give their first fruits. Number two, we ought to give because there's a lost world that needs to hear the gospel. Our giving supports missionaries. Our giving supports the church who is reaching out with the gospel to win lost souls. So it's a great investment to give the first fruits of your income to the cause of Christ that souls may be saved. And then number three, it just honors the Lord. Our giving honors the Lord. Giving, as we take up the offering, that's part of worship. We worship through singing. We worship through praying. We worship through looking into the Word of God. But we also worship in giving. It honors the Lord. What if we made Sandy Forrester a big old birthday cake? We all went around and got a big slice for ourselves and left her the crumbs. Now, knowing Sandy, she'd throw a fit. She's nodding her head. Now, would she feel honored if she only got the crumbs of her birthday cake? But do we honor the Lord? Just giving Him the leftover crumbs? If that. We need to honor the Lord. Give Him the first thoughts of each day. Give Him the first day of each week. Give Him the first fruits of your income. And number four, give God the first consideration in each decision you make. Seek to know and do God's will in everything. So I ask God about the big decisions. Big to who? Not big to God. They're all the same to Him. So, in every consideration, seek God's will and give Him first consideration. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it all to His glory. Every decision we make should be in light of what will honor and glorify our Lord. Now, I know many folks they're really afraid to surrender to God's will because they're afraid of what God may want them to do. So, Brother Wes, He may want me to go on some foreign mission field. Okay. If that's what He wants, that's the best thing for you. Amen? Whatever God's will is for you is what's best for you. Being in the center of God's will is the safest place to be and the best place to be. So don't be afraid of God's will for your life. It's what's best. Seek God's direction. Say, Lord, I will go anywhere. I will do anything. I will be anything that You want me to be. The third point I want to share with you is the satisfying dynamic of this priority. Let's go back and look at the promise here of the Lord. He said, all these things will be added unto you. If you put the Lord first, put His kingdom first, if you do that, God says, I promise you all these other things we've talked about in this chapter, the food, the drink, the clothes, the everything, all the needs of life, God says, I will provide those. They will be added unto you. Now, God does not promise to give you everything you want, but He will give you everything you need. He'll supply your needs. Folks, listen, nothing the world has to offer will truly satisfy your deepest needs. Do you know that? Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I tell you what, some people have sold out rather cheaply. Like Judas sold out the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Some have sold Him out cheaper than that. You ever heard of Pete Maravich? Pistol Pete? He's one of my favorite basketball players. I think he's the GOAT. Greatest of all times. He averaged 44 points per game in college. A record will never be broken. He averaged 31 points per game in his 10-year pro career. Basketball was his life from the time he was a little boy. His daddy was a basketball coach. And he slept with a basketball. He had one in his hands at all times. He was a magician with a basketball. But in the long run, it did not really satisfy him. He once tried to commit suicide. He was so unhappy. He tried New Age religion. He tried mysticism. He tried materialism. But nothing brought any real peace to his life. Then one day somebody shared the gospel with Pistol Pete. Pete got saved. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And at a Billy Graham crusade, he gave his testimony. And he said, I would not trade Jesus for all the fame and fortune this world has to offer. I finally found peace and fulfillment through Jesus Christ. What if Pistol Pete hadn't gotten saved? What if he died without Christ? And on Judgment Day, he stands before the Lord Jesus to give an account for his life. Then you say, well, Lord, I spent my life playing with a leather bag of air. I could dribble that ball between my legs. I could pass it behind my back. I could shoot it into a basket better than just about anybody on earth. Lord, I became one of the greatest basketball players of all time. So what? So what? What does that matter? In comparison to eternal values, what does that matter? And yet there are people who give everything for a hobby, for a sport. That's what's most important in their lives. It's not going to amount to anything when we stand before the Lord. Not only the promise of the Lord, but finally, note the purpose of this life. What about you? What will you have to show for your life when it's over? How many souls are going to be in heaven because of you? People that you've personally led to the Lord. Or maybe they're there because you supported a missionary. Because you supported a church that was seeking to win souls. We've talked about laying up treasure on earth and laying up treasure in heaven. Jesus said, for after all these things do the Gentiles, do the heathen seek these treasures here on earth. But yeah, there's a lot of heathen that don't know any better. Right? They don't know any better. They're in spiritual darkness. They're without God. They're without hope. But why would a professing Christian choose to live like the heathen? Doesn't make sense, does it? They just live for the moment. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow you may die. Is that not inconsistent for those who profess to be Christians to live like that? What about you? What are you living for? What's most important in your life? Can you say, as Paul did in Philippians 1, 20 and 21, Paul said, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Can you echo that? Say that's true of my life also. For me to live is Christ. He's number one. He has top priority in my life. So we need to honor the Lord. Lay up treasure where it cannot be lost nor taken away. How about you? Are you saved? Let's start there. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior because you put your faith in Him? Have you asked Him to come into your life to save you, to be your Lord? If not, would you like to do that today? We want to invite you to do that. Don't put it off any longer. As Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We invite you to come and trust in Christ. You may say, preacher, you know, I've done that in my heart. I've trusted in Jesus Christ to save me. But I've never publicly professed it. Why not? He publicly died on a cross for you. He didn't do that in some corner. This is what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Listen to this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I've had somebody once say, why do y'all have public invitations? Why do you want people to walk down this aisle? Because we want you to confess Jesus Christ with your mouth. Publicly confess Him. If you need baptism, we want you to come forward and present yourself for baptism. If you need a church home, we want you to come forward and present yourself for church membership. Not to satisfy me, but to satisfy the Lord. Because He's the one that said to do this. He wants everyone to get saved and every saved person to get baptized and every baptized believer to have a church home. No exceptions. That's God's will for all of us. There's some of you, you need to come for baptism. You need to come for church membership. Maybe some here need to get saved or profess your faith in Christ. We give you an opportunity to do that when we have an invitation. You might be saved, but Jesus is really not the Lord of your life. You can be saved and backslidden, right? Well, maybe it's time today to put the Lord first in your life. Whatever your need may be, just be able to say in your heart to God, Thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life today.